Jillian instantly screamed, and Fengxin jumped in surprise. "What? What is it?" Jillian pointed at the mirror, his face pale. "Him. My... Fengxin followed his arm and looked to the mirror. And a good moment later, he turned to look at Jillian, bewildered. "What's with you?" Jillian was terrified to the bone, and he gripped him hard, squeezing out only a few words with great difficulty. My face. My face. Don't you see it? The thing on my face?" Fengxin stared at his face and sighed. Jillian was still confused why there wasn't any reaction from him when Fengxin said, "Your Highness, have you finally noticed that there are cuts on your face?" It was as if Jillian had been plunged into an ice cellar. Why? How could this happen? Why would Fengxin say that? Could it be that Fengxin couldn't see the mask on his face in the mirror at all? Jillian blurted out, "You don't see it? There's something on my face." Fengxin was puzzled. "What thing? What exactly do you mean? I don't see anything." Jillian looked at the mirror again. "That's impossible. However, when he looked again this time, the mask on his face in the mirror had disappeared, and what reflected back was that panicking face of his. There were bruises and crisscrossing cuts on his face, looking lost and disturbed, exceedingly unkempt, like a small worker who was beaten to a pulp by a wealthy master. Jillian was stunned in spite of himself and probed the side of his cheek, wondering inwardly, "Is this me?" Just then, he heard Fengxin speak. "Your Highness, are you too tired, perhaps? Or are you just exhausted from being angry at that stinking bastard? Listen to me. Don't go out in the next few days, and just take it easy." Jillian finally snapped out of it and saw that Fengxin was about to leave the door with a bow on his back, dangling a stool in his hand. He explained hastily, "No, I..." Fengxin pushed the door while looking back. "Is there anything else?" The words had made it to his lips, but he forcefully swallowed them down, because a strange thought suddenly appeared in his mind. Life now was already very difficult. If he told Fengxin that White No Face would be coming back to harass them, what would Fengxin do? Fengxin was also fairly traumatized by White No Face. What would he do? Would he think of backing away and leaving like Muqing? Just as his imagination was running wild, Fengxin had already left. Jillian snapped back with the sound of the door closing, and so he could only shrink back to bed and wrap himself in blankets, planning to take another nap. Suddenly, he smelled something foul. Jillian crawled up. At first, he thought it was the queen cooking again, or some rat that died in a corner, and he got up to check. He looked all over, but in the end he discovered that the source of the foul smell was actually himself. Only then did Jillian remember that it had been over 2 weeks since he last washed up or changed, so of course he'd smell. Jillian held his breath, a wave of self-hatred crashing through him. Just thinking that both his parents and Fengxin must have noticed, but didn't bother to tell him, made him feel another wave of embarrassment. He sneakily opened the door and looked around. There wasn't anyone outside, so he found himself a set of fresh clothing and planned to boil some water for a bath. After much struggle, he finally soaked in the bathtub at last. He sank himself into the water, holding his breath until he was suffocating, and only resurfacing when he felt he was going to pass out. Then he rubbed at his face roughly. After wiping himself down, Jillian reached out to grab for his clothes. He was absent-mindedly shaking out his robes and was just about to put them on when suddenly he noticed something wrong. Those weren't his clothes at all, but rather White No Face's tragically blanched funeral garb with expansive sleeves. Jillian felt the hot water he was soaking in turn into an icy pond all of a sudden, his hair standing on end. he cried in dismay. Who did this? Who changed out his clothes in secret while he wasn't paying attention? He jumped out, still wet and dripping, and knocked the bathtub over. There was a large splash, and instantly the entire cottage was flooded with bathwater, startling both the king and the queen, who were in the next room. The queen supported the king as they entered to see, and Xielian was sprawled on the ground naked, the floor flooded with water. In her shock, she came rushing forward to hug him. "My son, what happened to you?" Xielian was wet and dripping, his hair strewn, and he looked up, hugging her back. "Mom, a ghost! There's a ghost! There's a ghost clinging to me! He's constantly following me." His appearance was no different from one who had lost his mind, and the queen couldn't take it anymore as she wept in anguish and held her son. The king also dumbfoundedly watched Xielian, a man of 40-something, looking like he was now over 60. The frigid air of winter jolted Xielian, and he pointed. "The clothes! Look at the clothes!" However, when he looked at those clothes again, how was it the funeral garb at all? Was it not just his white cultivation robes? Xielian was suddenly filled with rage, and he slammed a fist on the wooden tub, roaring, "Just what do you want? Are you playing with me?" The queen forced back her tears and hugged him. "My son, don't be angry. Just put on some clothes first. Put them on. Don't catch a cold." That day, Fengxin also came back really late. Exhaustion was written on his face, much more so than before. Xielian had been waiting for him for a long time, and he spoke impatiently. "Fengxin, I have something very important to tell you." That creature white no face was too bizarrely powerful. Even if he told Fengxin, it would be pointless to set up guard beforehand. Nevertheless, after much thinking, he still believed something like this shouldn't be kept a secret from Fengxin, so he decided to tell the truth. Unexpectedly, Fengxin didn't immediately ask what it was, and only said, "Oh good, I've got something I wanted to say to you too." Xielian thought that the matter with White No Face was more important, and anything else urgent could come after, but he sat down at the table and asked, "You go first, what is it?" Fengxin hesitated for a moment and said, "Your Highness, you go first." Xielian didn't have the mind to be courteous anymore and whispered, "Fengxin, you must be absolutely careful. White No Face has come back." Fengxin's expression instantly changed. "White No Face has returned? Why would you say that? Did you see him?" "Yes," Xielian exclaimed. "I saw him." Fengxin paled. That's not right. Why would he be seen by you? Why are you still here, all fine, after having seen him?" Xielian buried his face in his hands. "I don't know either. Not only did he not kill me, he even hugged him and patted his head like a loving elder and beckoned him, "Come to my side." After having listened to the strange encounters of the past few days, Fengxin's shock gradually faded away, and it was replaced by confusion. Just what is he thinking? Either way, he must not have had any good intentions, and he also seems to be following me everywhere, Xielian said. "In any case, you just be careful. Help me remind father and mother to be careful too, but don't frighten them." "All right," Fengxin said. "I won't go out for the next few days. The stuff that bastard gave us should last us for some time." It was quite embarrassing to say. When Mu Qing left, he still left behind everything he had brought over. Although Xielian lost control of himself at the time, flinging the stuff at him, saying he didn't need his stuff nor his help. After calming down, they still picked up everything secretly in defeat. Xielian sighed and nodded. Then he said, "Oh yes, what was it that you wanted to tell me?" Having brought this up, Fengxin hesitated again. After a pause, he opened his mouth and was surprisingly hemming and hawing, scratching at his head as he stammered out. "Actually, it's... Your Highness, do you still have money on you? Or something that can be pawned?" Shilin had never thought he'd ask such a silly question at a time like this, and was a little perplexed. "Huh? Why are you asking this?" Fengxin sweated as he replied boldly. "It's nothing. Just, if you happen to have some, can you lend me some?" Shilin laughed bitterly. "Do you think I'd have any more?" Fengxin also sighed. "I thought so." Shilin gave it a thought and said, "But didn't I gift you that golden belt before?" Fengxin mumbled, "That's not enough. Far from it." Shilin was shocked. "Fengxin, what exactly have you done out there? How can a golden belt not be enough? Do you owe someone money for beating someone up? Tell me." Fengxin snapped out of it and quickly said, "Oh no, don't take this to heart. I was only asking." After asking over and over, Fengxin still swore everything was fine, and Shilin said worriedly, "Well, if there's anything, you have to tell me, and we can think of a solution together." "Don't worry about me," Fengxin said. "No solution will just fall from the sky. Your Highness, you just focus on solving your problems." When he brought it up, Shilin's heart sank again. Just as he expected, in all the days that followed, that creature harassed him unceasingly and wouldn't leave him alone. Shilin would always see that cry smiling mask or that white silhouette in many unsuspecting places. Sometimes it'd be at the headboard in the deep night. Sometimes it'd be a reflection in the water. Sometimes it'd be at the other side of the door when he opened said door. And sometimes it'd even be standing right behind Fengxin. White No Face seemed to be taking scaring him as entertainment, and purposely let him be the only one who could see. Every time when Shilin couldn't take it anymore and pointed at him screaming, all the others would rush over or look over and he'd disappear. Shilin had been passing days like this in shaken agitation, so bitter he wished he could catch that creature and chop it into 8 pieces, but he couldn't even manage to step on the other's shadow. Inevitably, his days and nights became flipped, both his heart and body exhausted. One day, he jolted awake in the middle of the night and felt irrepressibly thirsty. Thinking that he hadn't drank anything properly the entire day, he crawled up, ready to go get some water to drink. However, from outside the room creeped faint voices and weak candlelight. Shilin was startled and instantly hid behind the door, his heart thumping. Who could it be? If it's father, mother, and Fengxin, why would they sneak around like this? Yet who knew the ones sneaking around really were his father, mother, and Fengxin? Fengxin's voice was extremely hushed. "His Highness is resting now, right?" The queen also whispered, "He's asleep now." "Finally," the king said, "don't wake him up too early tomorrow. Let him sleep some more." Those words made Shilin's heart squeeze, then soon after, he heard the queen say, "If this keeps up, when will my son ever get better?" Shilin could feel something amiss with those words, and just then, Fengxin said with a quiet voice, "He's only like this because he's overworked. Too much has happened recently. Will your majesties also keep a closer eye on him? And if there's anything off with his highness, please do let me know as soon as possible. But don't let him know. Also don't say anything that would provoke him." Shilin eavesdropped, hiding behind the door, his mind going blank. Waves of blood rushed up to his brain. What did this mean? What did they mean? He roared internally. "I'm not crazy. I didn't lie. I was telling the truth." Shilin raised his hand, and with a pang, crashed the door open. All three inside the room were startled, and Feng Xin rose to his feet. Your Highness, why aren't you asleep? Xilin was furious. You don't believe me? Feng Xin was taken aback. Of course I believe you. You... Xilin cut him off. Then what did you mean by those words just now? Are you saying that everything I saw were all hallucinations? That I'm just delusional? The king and queen wanted to intercept, and Xilin instantly said, Don't speak. You guys don't understand anything. No. No, Feng Xin exclaimed. I believe you, Your Highness, but you've been overworked too, and that's also the truth. Xilin looked at him and didn't speak, but somewhere in his heart, there were chilling winds blowing in. He believed that overall, Feng Xin still believed him, at least 80%. But it wasn't complete trust. After all, how Xilin passed his recent days really were too mental. If it was any other outsider looking in, they would have no doubt determined him to be a madman. So what right did he have to demand anyone trust him completely? But it shouldn't be like this. The Feng Xin of the past would have absolute faith in him, no matter what. Even if there was only 20% doubt, it was still unbearable. Xilin was filled with rage and resentment, but he couldn't tell who it was directed at. To White No Face, to Feng Xin, to everyone, or to himself. He didn't speak a word. He turned and went out the door, and Feng Xin chased after him. Your Highness, where are you going? Xilin forced himself to be calm. Don't mind me. Don't follow me. Go back. No, but where are you going? I'll go with you, Feng Xin said. Xilin made up his mind and suddenly started running wildly. Feng Xin wasn't as fast as him, and was soon left far behind. He could only shout after him. The king and queen both came out and started shouting for him too, but Xilin pretended not to hear and ran faster. He had no choice but to make the first attack. If White No Face planned to kill Xilin, or Feng Xin, or his parents, it would be a piece of cake. Yet he just wouldn't kill him, and would instead play him like a giant toy, making a meal of him. Xilin ran as he roared in the black night. Come the hell out, you shady gutter monster. Get the hell out. White No Face was coming strictly for him, so he believed that White No Face would follow him for sure. However, after cursing the world with insufficient vocabulary, there was none of the usual sneers drifting from unexpected shattered corners, nor did any figures appear languidly behind his back, putting an unsuspecting hand on his head. After running madly for a number of miles, Xilin finally exhausted his strength, and he bent deeply at the waist, supporting himself with his hands on his knees, panting harshly. His chest and throat flooded with the taste of rusted iron. A good while later, he suddenly whipped up and continued forward, saying under his breath, So you want to drag this out with me? Fine, we'll drag this out slowly. He walked by himself through deserted, barren fields, through old woods and deep mountains, for who knows how long, and fog gradually started to thicken. All around were the blackened old trees flashing their claws, and they were all leaning forward, exceedingly pushed down, as if they were inviting him to step into a forbidden land of no return. Xilin could tell that whatever was ahead wasn't going to be anything good, but it was unavoidable. Besides, he must put an end to this, so this would have come sooner or later. Thus, with a darkened expression, he continued forward. As he walked, within the white fog, a row of something shimmering appeared like a glowing wall. Xilin had never seen anything like it, and he furrowed his brow slightly, stopping his breath. As for that wall, it was actually slowly pushing forward toward him. Xilin was tensed in alarm and broke off a branch, gripping it in his hand at the ready. Only when that wall made it to not 2 meters away from him, did he realize in bewilderment that it wasn't a wall, but countless ghost fires. Because there were too many, from afar, it looked like a blazing wall or a giant net. While those ghost fires were strange, they didn't emit any murderous intent, and only drifted toward him silently, blocking him from continuing forward. Shilin tried going around them, but those ghost fires immediately changed direction and continued to block Shilin. At the same time, he heard many voices. "Don't go there. Don't go over. There are no good things ahead. Turn around. Don't continue to walk." Those voices were stoic and condensed like tides, giving him chills down his back. Shilin was surrounded and noticed that within these ghost fires, there was one ball of flames that was particularly bright and particularly silent. Although something like a ghost fire didn't have eyes, when he gazed at that ghost fire, he could almost sense a burning gaze staring at him. It seemed this ghost was the strongest amongst these ghost fires. All the other ghost fires were only following after it.